this retro thing for what it is. Nostalgia goggles heavy on those things when we were kids. I've got the memories of falling while my hair is turning gray. I'm thinking back on all the things that were better yesterday. So for all those things nostalgic, I ask of you is to like this. So for all those things nostalgic, I ask of you is to like this.
Hello and welcome to episode 115 of So Do We Still Like This, and also, sadly, our final episode of October, and the last of our themed months. We've been doing themes for a while, so November we're just going to get back to some good old chaotic, hey, it's the Thursday before this goes up, what do we want to talk about? So that'll be good. I've missed that. Joining me today as we round out October 2020 are... See?
I was waiting for Sam to go.
Sam also, Sam too. I don't remember what we settled on. The other Sam?
I think you were still Sam also. I don't know. When we joined forces with you two, I think maybe a new decision was made. I don't remember.
I don't remember either. There was a lot going on. There were too many Sams in that episode.
Too many Sams. Just one today, though. But we have a new voice joining us. Who I think said her name while I was talking, so I'll be silent.
Yep, sorry.
Say it again.
Hi, I'm Gracie. I'm from Sci-Fi and Scary.
Gracie, thank you for joining us today as we finally tackle... Oh, I just realized I should have opened with listener beware, you're in for a scare. Okay, everyone, we're starting over. No, we're not actually, but I should have said that, so I'll say it now. Listener beware, you're in for a scare because it's a Goosebumps episode. Finally, we have been talking about doing this. I think I mentioned in the Are You Afraid of the Dark episode that one of the original ideas for a podcast was the Goosebumps Book Club, where every episode we tackle the next book in the Goosebumps series. And it was going to be Rob and I think, who started it. And we both, I think, at least I did, we read book one and went, I don't want to do this. And so that was the end of that.
That's disappointing.
Well, I mean, having now just done one, can you imagine doing another one every single week for like a year?
How many are there? There's like freaking 100 of them or something like that, isn't there?
There's a lot. And it also depends, too, because there's the thing I've learned is there's main series Goosebumps, and then he's revived Goosebumps four or five different times, if not more. And then they did one.
Choose Your Own Adventure.
Yeah, and now there's
the Horrorland part of the Goosebumps, or no?
Horrorland,
a whole separate series.
Horrorland, I think you're right, did get its own series as well, and now there's a series that's pretty specifically focused on the ventriloquist dummy.
I hate dummies.
Well, I think I remembered seeing at the end of the ebook, there was like a pitch that this one's coming back with like round three or four as part of the Horrorland series.
Yeah.
So there's obviously some tie-in somewhere there.
Yeah. So if we were to have done all of them, it would have been a good couple years worth of episodes probably. But there's... R.L. Stine is the James Patterson of youth horror, because I don't know how he's churning these out at the rate that he's churning them out. But I kind of can after having read the book.
Yeah. So...
But first, we'll just go around and everyone can kind of, well, actually, no, first, actually, what I'm supposed to be doing is, Gracie, as a newcomer to the show, we have a few standard getting to know you questions.
Oh, no. Okay.
that we like to ask just to kind of, you know, get to know the important details of a person. And one of those questions is, if you could be best friends with a sentient chocolate bar, which chocolate bar would you pick?
Hershey's.
Like just a Hershey's chocolate?
Yep. Just plain old Hershey block.
Is that because you would be not tempted to eat it?
Probably, yeah.
That's the big conundrum we keep facing. And the other question, if you could command an army of one animal, what animal would you pick?
Oh, no. Does it have to be real?
Let's say no.
Okay, I will have a fleet of dragons.
Oh, God. You would be unstoppable.
Yeah, surely up the stakes.
Yeah. Like, I don't even think we can ask that question anymore because that might just be the correct answer. I thought you were going to go with, like, unicorns for a second. It's like, nope. Went a very different
Suspecting
way.
Suspecting cats, since you've already got, like, a small army of cats going.
If we're going real cats, it would be cats.
Okay, now I'll get back to what I was originally going to do, is just a quick round table of everybody's history with Goosebumps. Sam, also, you can kick us off.
So I read basically all of the original Goosebumps books as a kid, and like the Choose Your Own Adventures, and I eventually graduated up to the Fear Street. Big fan of those as a kid. I don't think I saw much of the show. I mean, I definitely saw a few episodes because when we watched it for this, the theme song and like the end credits were definitely familiar, but yeah, my experience with Goosebumps is most of the books. Was a big fan. Probably have not read them since like grade three. So it's been a bit.
Gracie, your history with the Goosebumps franchise?
I actually don't have much history with it. I was more Christopher Pike and Arl Stein's older books, or, you know, for geared for the older teenagers, like The Fear Street and all of his other one-offs, I guess, the ones that weren't in series. So I actually haven't even read many Goosebumps at all.
Had you read this one before, or was this a first time?
No, this is the first time reading it. Oh. I'm not even sure if I have read it, actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
That's a good perspective, then. yeah, I'm similar to Sam. I loved the books. It was kind of an unspoken agreement that when a new one came out, my parents would get it for me. I read all of the main series, and I started with some of the spinoffs, but I think by that point I was probably growing out of it, so I didn't go too deep. I'm pretty sure they gave all my Goosebumps books away, so those are long gone, which is too bad, because boy, some of those later series ones sound ridiculous and worth going back to. The show I remember being really excited about, and then even as a kid, kind of being disappointed. I was looking up the episode guide, and it doesn't look like I stuck with it for very long. So I think I sort of kept with my Are You Afraid of the Dark allegiance.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is the superior show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll talk about it, but we can spoil that right now. If anyone was wondering if Goosebumps comes out ahead, it does not.
Yeah, I haven't seen any episodes of Are You Afraid of the Dark, which I realize is a bit of a weird one, but I still feel pretty confident in saying that's probably the better show.
I chose book four in the series, Say Cheese and Die, for a few reasons. One, because yes, you could start Goosebumps at the beginning, but Welcome to Dead House is bad. And I know that, having recently read it for the failed Goosebumps podcast. So no. And then you get in, you know, you can do the ventriloquist dummy, and there's Monster Blood. There's a lot of iconic stuff. This one, it was just easy for all of us to get a hold of. And it's still early enough in the series that it kind of is laying foundation. And I don't think I'm wrong in saying this is a famous one. I mean, he's clearly sequelized it at least twice.
Yeah, I think this is pretty quintessential Goosebumps. Like, if you were to ask people to rattle off, like, five Goosebumps titles, I have a feeling that this would be in there.
Yeah, I would think so. Plus, Say Cheese and Die is just kind of a hilariously blunt title. Especially, and not, well, okay, a little connected to the events of the book, I guess, but
I was going to say, no one actually dies. Let's just put it out there that
that's not true. Title...
And that's not right.
Yeah.
Is it not?
Did you not read the book?
I did read the book.
Are we about to find out like five minutes in that you're like, no, I didn't. Sam, this book is like 100 pages of big ass text. You better have finished it.
I did.
Okay, because someone dies.
Yeah, no,
Sam.
Someone dies. Yeah. Yes, never mind. Okay, yeah, no, we're good. The title delivers. Never mind.
Okay. Maybe you're thinking of the episode of the show that I don't know. What's the best way to do this? Because I was originally thinking we would do the book and then talk about the episode. But now, like, I assume we're probably going to be going back and forth.
Yeah.
Let's just see what happens.
Yeah.
we'll at least start with the concept of the book, which Are You Afraid of the Dark actually did, I think, a very similar episode of this, but it's the haunted camera, where four kids of bland personalities, I don't know, there's a funny guy and then three others. One's a girl, I guess, if that's a character, that's a character
there's
trait.
Always a girl.
Yeah. There's a girl, a lead, a funny guy, and then a fourth character so inconsequential that they just didn't even put him in the TV episode. It's true, they just did not need him.
No, I know, as I was looking around, I'm like, oh, okay, they just kind of dropped that fourth kid, all right.
Yep.
Well, and what I really liked with that is that they, like, kept saying in the book how his jokes never landed, and he's just, like, Michael is not a funny character at all. But then in the show, they actually give his lines to Bird, who's supposed to be, like, the super funny character.
That's true.
Mm. So I thought that was kind of interesting. As interesting as things get with
yeah.
the subtlety levels that Goosebumps has.
So these four kids are bored. The first 10 pages of this book are just like, oh, I'm bored. And it's weird to think about boredom just as a concept as an adult. I don't know. Maybe I'm alone. Do you guys get bored anymore?
You still get bored.
I don't think I get bored. I'm just like, whenever I get free time, I'm just so happy to do anything that I don't think boredom as a concept exists to me anymore.
No.
I don't think I get
bored. There's always something I can do, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that.
There's
but
video
I
games to play, movies to watch.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah,
and like okay, 4 hours a week.
Time to be bored.
Yeah. So these kids though are bored. Apparently none of them own video games or movies, or and maybe they don't, because there is a moment in the TV episode where they go break into this guy's house and one of them goes, oh, cool, a TV. And it's just a standard TV. So I do not know what he was excited about. So maybe they don't have television. So for fun, they break into the local weirdo's house, Spidey.
I have done that.
Have you?
Not someone who actually lives in the house, but yeah, local houses that didn't have anyone in them. We'd adventure into them.
What'd you find inside?
Not much, really. It's mostly broken stuff, like windows, and most of them are pretty cleared of everything.
So no haunted cameras.
No.
No spiky Batman cameras?
No. Oh, God, that camera.
Yeah, what? Yeah, what that...
I went back to the book, and it's true that they don't really describe it, so the writers of the show had free form to do whatever, and they decided to go with, what if Batman's cowl was a camera?
The most subtle camera ever.
The most baffling thing about that was that the kids saw it, and they're like, oh yeah, camera. I'm like, yeah. In what world?
My wife said the exact same thing. She's like, how could they possibly have guessed that that's what that was? Yeah, very fair. So in the book, at least... And the two are going to probably start to get confused in my head. But if I remember correctly, in the book, they break into his house, find this camera, and decide to take it. Whereas in the episode, it's an accident. Am I misremembering that? In the book, I thought it was purposeful.
I think he kind of does take an accident in the book, too, because they get scared and he just runs off with it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was... I don't think it was super intentional in the book, either.
Okay, I must be misremembering then, but you don't want this camera because this camera. So what happens is the character in the book who doesn't exist in the show, whose name I can't, Michael.
Yeah, it was Michael.
Yeah.
All of the characters in both the book and the episode are just obsessed with having their picture taken, which I would take normally as a comment on youth, but this was pre-cell phone. And it's everybody.
I think probably when I was like 8 or 9, if I had a friend who had like a Polaroid camera, I would have been pretty into that. Like, you have to keep in mind, this is like, what, early to mid 90s?
95.
There's not a lot of excitement going on.
That's true. The
cameras were still interesting then.
Yeah. And the book makes it very clear that they are bored. So a camera might be an exciting little jolt. But every character, the moment they see the cameras, come on, take my picture. And if you don't take it fast enough, they get really aggressive.
Oh, God. Especially Sherry, was that her name? The girl?
Yeah, Sherry.
Yeah.
Greg, take the fucking picture,
do
Greg.
Do it now.
Oh, Gracie, we can curse here.
Okay, cool.
And then, okay, so I don't want to go too far down because I have a lot of other thoughts about the Sherry picture-taking scene. So the one that introduces them to the concept of, uh-oh, bad camera, is the character is leaning on the stairs, like, "Oh, take my picture," as fucking evidence that we broke into this guy's house. And as he's leaning on the banister, it breaks and he falls. And when they look at the picture that he took, it's not of him standing on the stairwell. It is the picture of him falling, which the lead points out, "I did not take that picture. I took it of you standing there. This happened after." And everyone else concludes, "Nope, you're wrong."
Yeah, they just argue with him about for way too long.
Yeah. That's another reoccurring thing is everyone, their explanations for why things are normal are always bad.
Yeah.
It's just like the camera is broken. Like that gets said at least.
Yes.
Yeah.
The camera is broken. It's like, have you never seen a camera before? I don't understand.
They never saw a TV before, so who knows?
Maybe.
Who knows? Yeah, the fallback on, "Oh, it must just be broken," and no one being concerned. Whereas I'd like to think all of us here in real life, after that happened, would go, "Oh, well, we're never using this again. This goes back."
Yep.
No thanks. But instead, I guess maybe one more. I'll give him one more. He comes home, and this stuff was way funnier in the TV episode. So yeah, I think we are just going to have to jump back and forth. His dad's got a new car. And the way the characters talk, especially in the TV episode, you would think that dad got this badass
Mustang or something. Yeah, like,
just like a 100 grand car. In the book, I think it's a station wagon.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. In the show, it's like a Toyota Camry.
Yes, that's what I said exactly.
And my mom's all like, "I always wanted a muscle car." It's like, okay.
Why didn't you buy one?
Like, yeah, too bad you still don't have one then.
It's so weird. "Would you, oh, what do you think of dad's sweet new ride?" It's like, he's 11. He doesn't care.
And he's like full on fondling the mirrors. Like, yeah. He is way into this like super standard 90s sedan.
And in the book too, he's like, "You've been excited for this car to arrive for weeks." Like, they really are bored. Oh, dad's getting a new Camry in just 4 more days.
Crossing it off on the calendar at night.
"I can't sleep. I'm too excited." But that picture I'll give him. He takes a picture of the new car because, you know, he's excited. There's a Camry. There's a new Camry. It's exciting. But in the picture that he takes, the car is completely destroyed. I would say at that point is when you cease taking pictures forever.
Yeah.
Yes.
They explain away a few of them with, "Oh, it went off by accident." Which, no. Probably not. There's a pretty clear button you would have to push.
Well, especially on like the Batmobile camera, like it seems like you have to hit about 17 different buttons at the same time for it to go off.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. How many pictures? Okay, so it's the car picture. What picture is next? Is it Sherry? That seems like too big
I
of a break.
I had issues with the car part. That part made me so angry in the book.
Which part?
The dad in the car. He's like going freaking 75. And almost runs into a freaking truck, and the mom's just like, "Oh, you." Like, okay.
Yes.
I think I'd have a little few more words than that, but all right.
I would agree. I was actually not clear in the TV episode what happened, because he blames the, like, "That maniac could have hit us."
I actually rewound it to double check, but yeah, he's clearly in the path of the truck.
Yeah, that's what I thought,
too. At 35, they tone it down to he's going, like, 35 in the episode, so it's like, how the hell do you even do that?
Yeah,
like that would take some time to even get into the other lane. Yeah. At that speed. Like,
in the book he's a lot more reckless because he's, you know, "Oh, slow down, the limit's 50 or whatever." He's like, "No, I do what I want with my Camry," and then he goes to
really push the wagon to the limits there. Shut up.
Put the pedal to the metal, dad. It's like, I can't. I'm going 50. It's the most I can do. And so in the book, it's a bit more his fault. And they do still kind of blow it off like, "Oh, that was close." Yeah. Really? There's no scene later where the boys are upstairs listening as their parents loudly fight down in the living room about how he could have got them all killed. And then in the TV episode, okay, so yeah, it looked to me, and I did not rewind it to double check, but it looked like, yeah, they had gone into the path of the truck and he had to swerve back into the other lane.
Yes.
And then, but then he says, oh, that maniac could have killed us. So that confused me. And of course,
I think they were supposed, maybe he was supposed to be distracted by the picture the kid was trying to show the mom, but again, my reminder, the dad wasn't really looking, so I have no idea how he wandered lanes like that.
Yeah.
Dad's got a drinking problem, and Arl Stein decided it was a little too dark for the book.
That's in the abridged or the unabridged version of Say Cheese and Die. Okay, so yeah, we get the car picture. I feel like we're, I mean, there's bullies that show up, and
oh,
you know,
I can't wait till we get to bullies. I have so much to say about them.
Well, let's get into it then, because
the next picture, though, is Bird, which does not happen in the book. They take a picture of him.
Oh, yeah, the
little
baseball
game.
Oh, yeah. And actually, I kind of skipped past something I wanted to talk about with the book, and it gets into it. This is the part that triggered it. R.L. Stein is very big on the cliffhanger chapter endings, and I remember even this from reading them when they came out, where every chapter has to end with what's going to happen? And so you keep reading. But he's also, I don't want to say he's not particularly good at them, but maybe no. I do want to say that. It also is just, at sometimes there isn't anything interesting happening.
And this one always ended with like the picture being taken, it seemed like, and then you had to read the next chapter to find out what was in the picture and how does it play out.
Which, and those ones aren't bad, because at least, the picture probably does have something bad in it, but he's so many of them, and the first chapter I remember being the prime example, because it ends with something like, and it was then that something leaped out and grabbed me, and then you're like, well, obviously it's the dog you saw on the last page, right? And then you turn, and chapter two opens with, oh yeah, it was just
the dog. The dog.
And he's got a few of those where they're talking, and then all of a sudden the darkness engulfed me. Like, yeah, because the sun went down, right? It's nighttime now. Yeah. And the Bird baseball game had a few of those because they take a picture of Bird and the picture is him.
Sounds funny. Bird baseball game that brought up an image. Yeah. An image of birds playing fucking baseball now.
Which
would be a better book.
And they all go to his baseball game to boo him.
Yeah.
Which just felt terrible. His picture is him lying mangled on the ground, and at least one or two chapters ends with fake outs where he like lies on the ground to trick them.
Yeah.
And then he does actually, he gets nailed in the side of the head with a baseball.
The injuries were a lot more graphic in the book, and they really toned that down for the show.
Really did. In the book, even when Michael falls through the staircase, it kind of implies that he is hurt.
Yeah.
Where in the show,
he recovers quick.
He recovers quick, but like he does kind of like, I have to walk it off a little. Where in the show, he's just like, ha, that's crazy. And then Bird takes a baseball to the, or a softball, yeah. I guess, to the side of the head, walks that shit off too. Kind of so there's a lot of bigger difference, but one big difference is, I don't know, because we didn't talk about the bullies. I think the bullies come before Sherry.
Yeah.
These two right. 90s bullies, one who is definitely from Are You Afraid of the Dark, because he plays a bully on there, the redhead kid, who just, like, his face has doomed him to play bullies forever. They're just so intently focused on getting this camera, which is really weird. I don't know. Gracie, you said you had a lot of thoughts on the bullies. Yes. Let's get into the bullies.
Okay. I have noticed in a lot of 90s stuff and a lot of stuff anyway, bullies in TV shows and stuff always wear heavy metal t-shirts. And they're always stringy haired too. I did like that in the show. The kids were in plaid. There was a lot of plaid in the episode. So they didn't have the heavy metal shirts on. But I was like, oh, there they are again. The bullies with the heavy metal shirts.
I mean, how else would you know, right?
No, yeah, you gotta have that shirt or else, you're not an efficient bully, I guess.
Nope. Oh, they like the devil music.
Yeah, and like the stringy hair and like the band t-shirts just show that like they're neglected at home, right? Like,
yeah.
So that's why they're bullies.
Which back then, though, band shirts cost a freaking fortune. So.
And ideally,
stolen while their parents weren't watching.
If you can show them working on a truck, that's another bonus. Or some sort of car.
I think these guys might be a little young for the car work.
Maybe.
Bike.
Yeah, there you go. Oiling their bike chain.
Yeah, their big bully feat in the book, I think, is like taking kids' bikes and ditching them like a couple blocks away. It's like, ooh.
Yes.
Pretty tough.
I guess we'll just walk over there and get it. Yeah. Well done, you guys.
That's mildly inconvenient.
You get a little more exercise and your journey home takes 3 minutes longer, but yeah, that is their big, like, they're ninth graders, I think. It doesn't really say how I think the main kids are supposed to be like 11 or 12.
Yeah, it's about where I assume that they probably were, like maybe sixth or seventh grade.
Yeah, it's the kind of 90s bullies where they can't be too intense, I guess. Like, they never physically threaten them, or it never seems like it's going to get into, like, you know, oh, I'll hit you. It's just like, oh, just keep away. I got your camera. It's like, okay.
Yeah, well, they didn't give it back. They didn't even really take it then. It's like, okay.
And they show back up at the end in an even weirder twist in the episode. We'll just have to remember, I guess, to talk about that. The picture with Sherry. So they go to, I think it's her birthday in the book. It's not in the episode. In the episode, they end up at her house because they're running away from the bullies. And she, of course, because this is all anyone can ever focus on, is to take me.
He is very demanding about that fucking picture.
And in the book, she's like, calls him up. She's like, you better be bringing that fucking camera to my birthday party. It's like, oh, that's a good idea, Greg. For like
5 pages.
Greg, listen to me. If you're not bringing the camera, I don't want you there.
Yep.
Greg,
you will take my picture and you'll take everyone else's picture, and that is it.
Yeah. Greg, you don't get to go to party. You're a photographer. You'll stand in the corner, eat cake, shut the fuck up, and take everyone's pictures, Greg. And then he doesn't, in the book, at least he fight, like to Sam, I think you just said, he fights back for like 5 pages. And there's not a lot of real estate in this book for that kind of stuff. But like, I don't know if it's a good idea, Sherry. Bring the camera. It goes on for a full chapter. Okay, I guess. And same in the episode, which we haven't even pointed out in the episode. Greg is played by Ryan Gosling.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah.
I didn't even look at their names or anything.
In his second credited role ever, apparently.
And I caught that as soon as it started. I think I messaged you when you also were not in the know. So that was a fun coincidence. I think the last episode I did was also Ryan Gosling.
Yep. Surprise Ryan Gosling is the best Ryan Gosling. And I looked him up. He did not have to pay his dues for that long, from what I can tell. He did an episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark, then this, and then he does a couple. His early filmography is very Canadian, because he does an episode of Ready or Not, and he does an episode of Psy Factor, and then he's just in Breaker High and Hercules. It happens really quickly. He is the closest in this episode to what I would call an adequate performance.
He does all right with the.
Yeah, I mean, that was a little better than I was expecting it to be with some of the other Goosebumps episodes I watched, like the fucking killer sponge thing.
I was actually really disappointed we didn't do It Came From Beneath the Sand.
Maybe me too, but I felt like Say Cheese and Die might have had the potential to be good, whereas It Came From Beneath the Sink, even then.
It just feels like such a throwaway book kind of thing. Like, okay, well, there's your monster book for the month. I'll start writing the good book for next month.
Yeah, that felt like R.L. Stein's agent calling him on the 28th and going, you're going to have a book for me on the 30th, right? Yeah, totally. This one's about, and maybe he was like in the shower at the time. This one's about a...
Killer loofah.
A what? I mean, a sponge. Is that okay? And it absorbs... Negativity. Is that what it does, Gracie? Am I remembering that right?
I think so. I only watched it like once with my son not too long ago, actually, like last year, but I think that's how it works and gets bigger.
Yeah, or maybe does it absorb your positivity and make people angry? It has teeth. I know that.
Yeah, and glowing red eyes.
I don't remember why it would need teeth.
Maybe no, it never actually ate anything.
We might just have to break and everyone go read this book and we'll reconvene in 40 minutes. Can't imagine it takes that long. Although
it was a cautionary tale on the importance of kitchen hygiene.
Oh. You know what, though? I don't think he bothered to re-release that one in this, because the Say Cheese and Die, I think most of us looked at, is from this re-released, hey, there's a movie now series, and it doesn't look like all the original books made the cut, because we were also thinking about doing Piano Lessons Can Be Murder. But that one doesn't seem to have gotten, you know, the
updated cover for it?
Yeah, like the recognition that it should get to be brought, which is ridiculous. And I'm kind of disappointed, because then I could have spent this whole episode just running around my room going, beautiful hands! Beautiful hands! So now I don't get to do that. Except for what I just did.
Yeah, you still worked it in. I think we're fine.
Beautiful hands, Sam. Beautiful hands.
Only thing I remember from that episode.
I remember,
did definitely see that episode.
It actually has a really dark ending, that episode. Like, or just weirdly...
That is one thing I always did like about the Goosebumps books. They weren't afraid to go dark with their endings sometimes, like the Haunted Mask one. That was like, oh my god.
Doesn't he lose at the end?
That was actually really creepy.
Is that how that one, you know, spoilers for the Haunted Mask listeners, but doesn't that end with just the mask is his face now?
Yeah.
Yeah, this one doesn't really go that route. But they are, yeah, he was occasionally pretty willing to just go with the downbeat ending.
Yeah,
like I said, the book was a lot more, like, the injuries that are sustained and stuff are a lot more wicked in the book than they turn out to be in the TV show. They're pretty light in there.
Yeah, and let's get into the first big difference with the Sherry one. So after he finally caves and takes her picture, he takes her picture as she's leaning against a tree. And this had maybe my favorite explanation as to what went wrong, because she looks at the picture of the tree and goes, you missed me. And his response should be like, hello, like, at least in the episode, he's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, the tree is right there.
But in the book, they're like, oh, maybe I did. Book Greg
takes a second photo.
Yeah, like, Book Greg does not stand up for himself at all. Like, you missed me. Oh, I'm sorry. Like, no, you didn't, Greg. Come on. So he takes...
Like, there was nothing outstanding about that weird leaning against a tree pose that, like, warranted a second photo being
taken. Yeah.
No, she was really proud of that one, too. But in her picture, she's just gone. She's just not in the picture. And then, sure enough, she vanishes from existence. And in the book, it's treated a lot like the big deal that it actually would be if all
yeah,
of a sudden.
Yeah, they really just kind of brush over it in the episode. Like, oh, well, she's gone. Yeah,
Sherry's gone. Oh, well.
And everything, and the mom and dad are freaking out. And
yeah, in the book, like, the cops are looking for her, and like, people are worried, and her parents are in tears.
But in the episode, they've got the cops too, and it's super awkward because they're questioning. To be clear, the episode with credits is, I think, like 21 minutes and 29 seconds.
Correct.
And they spend at least 4 minutes with these, like, awkward sunglassed cops.
Oh my god.
Just arguing with Ryan Gosling about, like, whether or not, and, like, he's, like, much more willing to bring up the photos in the episode, whereas, like, in the book, he just keeps them to himself because, like,
he has, like, a little conversation with himself about whether he should even tell the cop about the camera, and...
Yeah.
I did like that.
And then in the show, he's just like, oh, I took this picture of Sherry. The cop's like, is this some kind of fucking joke to you, kid? Is this a joke?
Sunglasses.
Yeah, the cop was a lot more mean in the episode than he was in the book. He was at least somewhat nice in the book to the kid, not, we know it was you, kid.
The aggression from that cop in the episode was easily my favorite thing from both the book and the episode, because that actor, he had a performance in mind.
And his he was playing it that way, and that was just it.
Oh my god.
In the book, I kept picturing him as like Vin Diesel because his name was Officer Riddick, and that made that part much more enjoyable.
I didn't even pick up on that. I should have, because I literally just watched Pitch Black the same night that I watched that episode and read that book. And the picture that's what he did after they got off that planet is like, I'm going to go to Earth and be a cop. I can't even fully express how much I enjoyed his whole like whispery Clint Eastwood. Like, yeah. I'm going to do it like Dirty Harry. Like, hey, kid, you fucking around with us right now? I was like, well, I took a picture. Go get the picture then. All right. Well, here, is this some kind of joke? Well, there's nothing in this picture, kid. And they always are like close cropped in on his sunglasses. And they are definitely one step away from, we know you fucking did it.
Punk. Yeah.
Where is she?
Oh, yeah. Like, another 30 seconds and that cop 100% would have had him like pinned up against the wall,
yeah.
His shirt, his shoulders, like
the book does have a going. The book does have a one-off line where Greg notes that the cop's hand is hovering above where his pistol is.
Really?
It's when he's having the internal debate of, should I tell him about the picture, and he's like, you know, and that officer reaches his hand down to like right where, does he think if he says like, there's this picture, the cop's just gonna whip the gun out and be like, get it, get down on the ground. The movie episode cop maybe would have, but oh god, that whole scene is so good. But and it is kind of treated in a way humorously at first, because it's very like, oh, Ryan Gosling slipped up and he has to cover for his lives, like a girl is missing, TV episode, take this seriously. And then when she comes back, it's kind of the same thing.
It's like, she just shows up after being missing for 2 days, and her parents are like, oh yeah, go ahead, go play with your friend, we're good.
Yes!
And blaming her for it, saying, oh, you did this on purpose, yes.
At least in the book,
like, okay.
They have a reaction, like, they make it very clear that the cops are going to have a lot of questions for her, and her parents are going to have a lot of questions for her. In the TV show, she's just kind of there, like, oh, we're going to go break. I'm back. What? We're going to go break into this house again? Okay.
And I think in the book, too, like, their initial conversation happens over the phone. Like, she calls him up to be like, yeah, hey, by the way, like, I undisappeared.
Yeah. Like, I appeared back at my house. I don't remember where I've been. My parents are hysterical. The cops are going to have a bunch of questions for me. But, yeah, I'm free tonight if you want to do something.
Yeah, and in the show, she's just kind of like hanging out in the street after dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got back from disappearing for 2 days, but it's probably fine. Like, let's just go hang out in dark alleys somewhere.
She's very good humored about it in the episode.
Oh, yeah, she's fine. Like, she's like, yep, nope, no biggie.
Oh. Yeah, they really do make it very like, oh, I don't know where I was. Okay, we'll just leave it at that then. So apparently she's just in some limbo the whole time.
She's going to spend years in forced therapy to be like, we got to recover those 2 days. We just had, no, we don't want to hear the story about the camera again. Where were you those 48 hours? The show and the book don't get into that. We just have to assume nowhere for a couple of days. But this is also where he discovers how to undo the camera's work.
Which also doesn't really fit with the camera's MO, but that's fine.
Oh, the disappearing thing?
Yeah, sorry, my sound like cut out for a second. That was weird.
But you're saying the camera's MO doesn't fit with making someone disappear instead of wounding them?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, the camera, what it does and what it's up to seems, especially in the TV show, kind of just
jumps. Oh, so vague.
Yeah. And also, when Ryan Gosling, or Greg, I guess, figures out how to defeat, all you need to do to make the pictures undo themselves, or presumably not happen, just rip it up.
How would that work, though, with, like, the car? Because I was kind of thinking that, I'd be like, well, your parents would probably appreciate, you know, their car back without having to fuck with insurance and stuff. But I was thinking of that with, like, the car, or maybe it has to be within a certain time frame, because it only seems to work for her.
Well, the car photo, at least in the TV show, gets blown out the car window.
Oh, that's right.
So we don't get to find out. But I assume if he ripped that up, the car would just, like mold itself back into shape like Christine.
Yeah, I was gonna say pull a Christine.
Yeah, and just expand back, and then his dad would just go, because no one ever wants an explanation in this episode.
Nope.
We just go, this is great.
Yep.
I'm so lucky. I thought it was gonna be total, but it looks brand new.
The parents and all these older books, they're just so, I mean, they kind of have to be oblivious for the books to even happen half the time, but they're just oblivious to the point of wow sometimes.
Yeah.
To be fair, I got away with some pretty wild shit in the 90s. True. Like, 90s parents just were not as involved in their children's lives.
We talked a little bit about it in the Are You Afraid of the Dark episode, how I would have liked to see more shows like this where the parents get on board immediately and quickly. Like if Greg had gone to them and said, hey, this camera takes pictures and it shows bad shit, that they were like, oh, Jesus. Oh, no.
Yeah, that is one thing I always hate about like a lot of the 90s stuff where they're like, you can have, or a lot of the stuff now even, you can have proof, video proof right in front of their faces. And you're like, oh, you're just imagining things.
Yeah. This camera's clearly, I know, just that
chair just levitated to the ceiling, but it's just a,
you're just tired.
Gust of wind.
All right, so I guess in the final stretch, Sherry's back and they have decided we got to bring this camera back. We got to, you know, return this camera to Spidey. And here is where the book and the TV show go down very different paths. In the book, I guess in both, he has been kind of following them around. In the book, he actually goes as far as to break into Greg's room and ransack all of his shit to try and find the camera. But in the episode, he kind of just looks at
actually
them.
At that part when they ransack his room, he's like, I'm all alone, who can I have for help? And this is literally right after he came home from Sherry being missing. There are cops right next door. But that never plays into his mind at all, thinking, hey, he could just go right next door and say, hey, cop, somebody just broke into my room.
Does he write it off as some, you know, oh, they can't know I stole this camera?
No, I don't think so.
Hmm.
I think he just doesn't. There's no one in the house, so there's no one in the rest of the world, apparently.
Apparently.
It's 11-year-old logic, yeah.
I guess. So they break back into Spidey's house, and this time he shows up. And he, in both cases, but more so in the book, kind of goes full James Bond villain monologue and explains the camera, kind of. So the full explanation in the book, and you're probably both going to have to correct me on this because it's going to sound insane, but I think this is what it was, is he was an inventor and he had a partner. And his partner invented this camera and was like, oh, this is going to be amazing and I'm going to be rich. Which I think is because this camera doesn't need film, which is something.
It wasn't clear in the book what exactly he was originally intending it to be invented for exactly.
No, they don't. He just invents the camera and it says that this is going to be huge. And you kind of have to do the mental work to conclude maybe that's why, is because earlier
I thought it was supposed to be taking pictures of the future, but like a good future sort of thing, you know, like a normal future, I guess.
Oh, maybe.
That would make more sense, yeah, because I also didn't quite cotton on to like why this camera was so special.
Okay, that actually makes a lot more sense, because that's the conclusion I came to, was the no film thing, because that's a problem they have, or not really a problem, but throughout the story they, like, this thing's so weird.
Probably would have made him rich too, though, so it could be either one.
Yeah, but yours makes more sense, because then he says that he stole the camera from his partner, but then his partner was, unfortunately for him, also a warlock.
Yeah.
like a master demonologist.
Yeah. Witchcraft involved, yeah.
And he even says, like, and he wasn't just dabbling, he was real fucking good at it. He puts a curse on the camera. So it would make more sense if it's what you said, that originally it was taking pictures of just the future or a positive future, and then he puts a curse on it, and it now makes your future bad. Which he says in the book, that it cost him his family and his friends and his job. The job I get because he stole the thing and maybe he took a couple pictures, but I feel like once he came up with the solution of, oh, I'm just going to hide the camera, his life probably could have resumed as normal.
And, like, if we're going to say that we have to hide the camera because it can't be destroyed, like, that's one thing that they touch on. It can never be destroyed at any point, which, fine. Bury it in concrete or something. Like, don't hide it in your weird little basement storage section.
Or, like, crank the area.
But, I mean, surely concrete is a little less accessible to children than, like,
or hidden
compartment.
Get, like, a safety deposit box at a bank, even.
Like, yes, there are better solutions than random hidden compartment accessed by vice grip.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, puts a curse on the camera. And then, you know, like, okay, well, here's your camera back. We're going to go. And in both episode and book, he's like, I can't let you go. You're going to tell people about my evil camera. And it doesn't explicitly say he plans to murder them. I assume that's his plan versus we're roommates now.
Yeah. In the book and the show, Greg's thinking, oh, he was just going to keep us down there forever. And I'm just like, I don't think so, kid.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Greg, I don't. That's very optimistic of you, Greg.
I don't think he's sharing his Hungry Man meals.
It's like, there's a spare two spare bedrooms upstairs. I make a mean fettuccine Alfredo.
Spidey's just lonely.
Did you see my cool TV? We can watch that. So now there's the part where I'm trying to remember where each one diverges. In both cases, he gets his picture taken. I believe in the book it goes off by accident, but in the show they take his picture on purpose.
Yeah, I think in the book there's like a struggle.
And they aren't even sure whose picture got taken.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it's the classic gunshot goes off, who got shot?
Yep.
And it was Spidey. And the picture shows him on the floor terrified. And then what you find out in the book, and going back to what happened at the start of our conversation, Spidey fucking dies.
Yes, which I apparently just repressed.
It is.
It was traumatic, Sam, we know.
Yeah,
apparently.
Sam took it hard. He dies of fright, presumably because the idea of whatever was going to happen to him scared him so bad that his body chose death. And that's more or less like, oh yeah, and we kind of murdered a dude.
Yeah.
And then the bullies at the end, it turns out they've been stalking the lead.
Yeah.
His camera?
Following him everywhere for the Batman camera.
Yeah.
And a lot of stalkers.
So at the end of the book, it just, you know, it's like, oh, hey, fucking take my picture. And then he does, and they're waiting for it to develop, and that's the end of the book. The show, they take his picture, and he gets trapped inside the camera, which they do talk a little bit about that. Oh, they thought that when you got your picture taken, it would steal your soul. But in the book, he just says that and we move on and it doesn't mean anything. But then the show decided that that's now all of a sudden what the camera does.
It's Spidey in the camera. Am I remembering it wrong?
Yeah, no, it is.
Yeah. But why does it trap Spidey in the camera instead of just, here's a picture of your bad future?
Unclear.
I have no idea.
And
apparently the TV show, like, to be fair, the TV show, like, really trims a lot of non-existent fat off the book. So maybe they just weren't willing to go quite so dark as to kill someone on a children's television show.
But you could still have just, like, him looking, you could see the pic, or even have him just look at a picture and we don't see what it is, and him being like, what did you do? And they run out of the house.
That would have been a good ending.
But instead he gets trapped in there, and I thought this is where the episode was going to end, because it's him inside the camera going, oh no, I don't like this. And then, nope, that's not the end of the episode, as we do then see the bullies like, we've been stalking them for 3 days, but it's been worth it. Free camera. And they take a picture, and this guy, who I guess only had to be trapped for like 3 hours, is now out, back out of the camera, and rises above them, and I guess is, we're to assume he's gonna murder them?
I don't know, snatch his camera and run, maybe?
Yeah, and then credits. Also, the Spidey character in the show is, it's worth pointing out, kind of like how the cop performed, like how he thought cops performed in movies. This just felt like, what would an evil scientist inventor look like? It's like, I don't know, lab coat and weird glasses.
Yeah, I pictured him much differently in the book.
Yes. In the book, they kind of say like he's a lot more regretful. Like he doesn't.
Yeah, he's also straight up evil, I guess.
Yeah, in the episode, he's a villain. Whereas in the book, they even comment, oh, he's a lot more soft-spoken than I would have expected. But the performer in the episode has just decided, like, should I go for an 11? I'm going to dial it up to 11. And that's say cheese and die.
Sure is.
The book was better than I thought it was going to be, actually. That surprised me.
Sam, agree? Disagree?
I agree. I could see, like, why that book would have scared me as a kid.
Yeah. I can concur with that. I mean, certainly a speedy read as an adult, which was nice, but kind of like what Gracie was saying, the book works a lot better because there's stakes and there's consequences, whereas in the show, it just kind of felt like, oh, I fell down. That sucked.
Yeah, moving the show on. Was like really, like, I mean, the book is not subtle, but any subtlety that it had is just gone from the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and we never actually mentioned that the car photo does come to fruition. The dad gets it in an accident. I don't remember if they explain it in this show, in the book they just say a guy ran a red light and sideswiped him.
Yeah, he's in the light. It describes him being in the hospital, all bandaged up and stuff. So, that's why they're gone. Yeah.
I also made a note that says, is it out of focus? Which I assume I wrote that because that was someone else's explanation for why the picture is weird. Is maybe it's out of focus. I also wrote
that... What are you focusing on that Batman camera?
I also wrote that in the episode that all of the kids were older than looking than I pictured them when I read the book.
Yeah, I pictured them like 8 or 9, I think, actually. Yeah.
They were 14 or 15 in the episode.
They were not that old. Not great at gauging ages, but like they look like about 12 to me.
Yeah, I'd say 12, 13. I suck at guessing kids' ages too.
Yeah, me too. But they definitely, as soon as Ryan Gosling popped up, was like, yeah, he doesn't look like. Maybe that's another thing too, is we can't have such awful events happening to a 9-year-old. People won't stand for it.
But then, like, nothing awful happens to the kids anyways. Like, really the only thing is that one kid falls down the stairs a little bit and then Sherry just briefly disappears with no consequences.
Yeah. Yeah, the book is far superior to the adaptation. And I think largely because they softened it into nothing.
Yeah, there were very few stakes in the show.
And in the book, they're... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was saying, in the book, they're far more curious about the camera. Like, Sherry, at one point, I think, is trying to rip it apart to see, like, about the film and whatnot. I think right before Bird's baseball game is when they're doing it. But they don't seem to be all that... I think there's, like, one part where they're fiddling with it, but they don't seem all that curious about it, especially that thing.
Yeah.
Like, they act like it's a normal-looking camera.
They're also, in the episode, they decide it's indestructible because at one point Ryan Gosling kind of lightly chucks it onto his front lawn.
Yeah.
And they go, look, not a scratch on it. It's like, yeah, you dropped it half a foot onto some grass. Maybe, you know, take a baseball bat to it. See what happens. It kind of makes me wish I'd watched the Are You Afraid of the Dark killer camera episode to compare and contrast, but I do definitely remember in that one they take a baseball bat to it and like set the camera on fire, and then the next morning it's just intact back in their room. And we could have used a little bit more of that. More
definitely.
Evil camera instead of slightly inconveniencing you camera.
Like, oh god, deal with the insurance now.
Yeah.
Fuck,
in this picture I'm arriving at the office at 9:10. I start at 9. I'm gonna get in so much trouble. Damn you, camera!
Yeah, I guess that is one thing that got me about the book is how often Greg is forced to use it. Like, because, you know, normal people, like you said, would just be like, okay, I'm not using that again. Bad things are happening. But no, they go to great lengths to make sure he uses that damn thing throughout the book.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Otherwise, you don't have money. If by page 20, nope. He goes, this shit seems haunted. Yeah. I'm going to put this back.
Much like It Came From Beneath the Sink is a moral tale of kitchen hygiene, this one is all about not falling prey to the damaging effects of peer pressure. That's my takeaway of this moral tale of Goosebumps.
Greg, take my picture. No, take it.
Okay.
I did not like the girl in the book. She really annoyed me.
I agree.
Very pushy.
Yeah. Very pushy. I thought they were all just kind of, like I said, when they're all, let's go to Bird's baseball game and boo him. It's like, fuck you guys.
I know.
Go out and support Bird. He's done nothing wrong to you.
Although I don't think Bird would be my friend in the episode after he's just like, no, you go ahead to the old scary guy's house alone. I got dinner waiting, man. I can't make it.
I actually like that part. It's like, we got to go back. It's like, you took the fucking camera. I don't have to do shit. Like, you know what? He's right. I think that would be my stance, too. It's like, no, I'm not a part of this. I got to go eat mac and cheese.
And I think in the book, too, like, they go back and forth on it a little bit, Bird and Michael and Greg, about how, like, Greg is really pushing them to go back to the house. And they're just like, no, we got to go have dinner. And he's like, okay, so maybe, like, tomorrow then. And they're just kind of like, and then just, like, fucking bolt.
Oh, yeah, one of their big plans of hiding is, like, leaving it under the bleachers when they're talking about how it cannot harm people anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, we'll just stick it under here. Hand it to me. I'll put it under the bleachers.
Kids are not good at hiding shit.
No, these are not, they're not exercising good problem-solving abilities.
Although Spidey's following them, and Greg wants to give it back so bad, he could have literally probably just said, hey, here's your camera. Left it there.
Left it, yeah.
Sorry, man. Woof. And, like, again, out in public, too, so he can't do the whole, like, I gotta keep you here forever. It's like, yeah. It's a softball game. Good luck. I do not have any more notes, so I don't know if anyone has any other additional thoughts or if we just kind of give our final wrap-up.
Yeah, I think we've exhausted my thoughts on Say Cheese and Die.
I mean, yeah, I guess we kind of did cover it. For me, the book was still, you know, it wasn't an unpleasant read for a quick 130-ish, barely page novel. It did seem to still kind of tread water at times, but I can appreciate handing this to a 7-year-old and they would, you know, get target audience and have them getting a decent spook. And I thought the TV episode was just kind of bad. It's kind of blah, kind of cheap.
Yeah, I like the book, but yeah, the episode was just boring. There wasn't much going on, and no one really stood out.
Yeah, it was a good reminder as to why I probably... Because if this aired in, like, 95, 96, I would have been 11 or 12. So I'm not surprised that I walked away from this and just went, this is not doing it.
Maybe that's why I never got into it. I was about, like, 15, I think. 15, 16, when these books were coming out.
Yeah. I would say 8 or 9. And even then, I don't see anything. Even the one part that we didn't talk about that has potential for spookiness is he has a dream where they're all having a barbecue and he takes his family's photo and then the photo, they're all skeletons. It's the original cover of the book. But in the show, it's like they decided, well, they can't be real skeletons. That'd be too scary. So they're weirdly bright, cartoony skeletons.
Yeah, they're like point art, like,
almost
bizarre.
Yeah, it was a very strange decision. That also, it seems like the episode had somebody somewhere going, well, you can't make it too scary. Whereas I feel like Are You Afraid of the Dark had someone else being like, you want to put a rotting corpse in a swimming pool and have it chase some kids? Fuck, okay,
yeah.
All right, sure.
Honestly, if you're not traumatizing small children, what's even the point?
Yeah, kids want to be scared. I don't think there's anything in this episode that would scare them. Like, they don't even out jump scare. A cat doesn't pop out, like, nothing like that.
Or even, like, another kid grabbing another kid off screen.
Yeah, and like, bah! Oh, Jesus, Bird, it's just you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would you ever do that?
think bland would be the best word I can describe it
yes,
as.
Yes, it is very bland. It was a long 21 minutes. Whereas coming off of Are You Afraid of the Dark for the last episode, I was like, I would probably watch more. Like, at least they move quick. But yeah, this was not... It was a more condensed version that somehow felt longer.
Even, like, going back to, you know, like, we did Eerie Indiana, I think even that had more potential for, like, at least tension.
Stuff in it sometimes.
Yeah. Really, like, there was nothing. Like, I agree, the book was not bad for what it was. I definitely read it as a kid. Like, it was definitely familiar to me. And I could see where it would have been a bit of a spooky read as, like, a 6 or 7 year old. But the TV show, yeah, there was nothing going on there. The best part of the show was the opening credits. That song is great.
Yeah, the song is pretty good. The visuals that go with it kind of lend still to the cheap.
Yeah.
There
was not a high production value on this thing.
The Photoshop.
The Dark definitely has the superior intro credits. It's actually creepy.
Yeah. Sam, have you seen the Are You Afraid of the Dark intro?
I'm sure that I have. It's probably all I've seen of it. I should probably at some point maybe watch an episode or two.
It's kind of actually the opposite, because I feel like the Goosebump music is super, like, kind of creepy, but the visuals are like, oh, you put a Photoshop eye effect in front of a dog. Whereas Are You Afraid of the Dark, like, the music is barely music. It's just actually kind of like groaning sound effects. But then the visuals...
Like ambient noise.
Yeah. But the visuals that go with it are like, just here's a swing set swinging alone in a broken down playground and a creepy attic and like a canoe just abandoned in the middle of the water. And the visuals are very striking in that opening.
The only thing I know about Are You Afraid of the Dark is, like, they've got a campfire, right? That's like the whole thing.
Yeah, the Midnight Society.
Yeah, that's all I know. They've got a campfire. There are matches.
I also
will nod to the Twilight Zone with that. The story is submitted to the Midnight Society, and they throw the stuff on the fire.
Yeah, yeah. It's just. Are You Afraid of the Dark is better. Goosebumps also I was kind of disappointed because my memory was that R.L. Stein would come in at the beginning and end of every episode, but apparently he only did that for the first couple. And I just remember as a kid thinking, this guy is bad at this. Oh, hello.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Are you ready for some spooks? I am ready.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of authors that host their own things just aren't very charismatic, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe that's why they stopped. Maybe that was their whole idea at the beginning is, oh, R.L. Stein will be like our crypt keeper. And then they filmed one episode and went, or maybe we just start the episode. That's Say Cheese and Die. Gracie, we do a thing on here for reasons I don't remember, where at the end of the episode, we kind of just highlight something that we are currently enjoying. And I believe, and the reason I've been saying we're doing this, at least in recent episodes, is because I think originally we decided, hey, what's something maybe we will have nostalgia for in the future? Or maybe a lot of our original episodes were super negative and we wanted to inject some positivity at the end. Maybe at the beginning we weren't liking a lot of stuff. So, I don't know. Sam, also, you kick us off.
So, I have been watching, I've been doing like a horror movie a day for October. And then to kind of add some lightness after that, I've been watching an episode of Taskmaster every night, which is this like British game show with comedians. So that's been pretty enjoyable, and it's kind of taking away from the darkness a little bit of watching a horror movie every day for 31 days. So yeah, that's my current thing.
Gracie, anything stand out that you are currently enjoying?
My son's got me watching it. Zumbo's Just Desserts, and he also got his girlfriend a new VR headset like yesterday, so we've been messing with that, and it's pretty awesome. Like, we played Five Nights at Freddy's Hope Wanted last night, and it is very realistic.
In
way
VR,
better than...
that would be a lot to deal with.
It is. It's like, I don't usually get scared by games, but it had me jumping. It's like you get this huge Freddy in front of you and you're poking in his innards and stuff, and the restaurant looks like it's really there, and it was so much better than I thought it was going to be.
we have a VR headset, but then we had children. And we can't bust it out. So they'll be like, what's that? Nothing. I'll put it away. Until they're older, at least. God, what would my pick be? A lot of the, I'm trying to also kind of do a movie a day, but a lot of them are movies I've seen before. We did watch all of The Haunting of Bly Manor.
Oh, is that good? I haven't seen it yet. I've been wanting to, but haven't quite found the time to sit down and pay attention to it yet.
In the most general terms possible, yes, it is good. It is a step down from Hill House. It is not scary in the slightest, which I don't even know if I'm saying as an official complaint. It made it after a couple episodes, you kind of realize like, oh, I don't even think it's trying to be that scary.
If I'm remembering right, it's based on the term The Screw, right?
Yeah.
Which is like the most boring ghost story ever.
Yeah, the term The Screw is not really all that scary in and of itself, so you'd really have to add a lot to make it scary, I think.
Yeah, there's some spooky stuff, but I mean, to put it in perspective, my wife has like a negative tolerance for horror. And she was 100% fine. Like, we watched the entire thing, and at no point was she ever like, oh, I don't like this. So, we liked it. It starts strong, and then it kind of lags in the middle enough that we actually kind of got away from it for a few days and then decided, you know what, we got to go back and wrap this up, or else it's going to be 6 months later, and we're going to forget. And then it's weird, because after a couple episodes where it's a little draggy, it just sprints to the finish line, to the point where the second last episode is almost like having a character sit you down in a chair and go, all right, let me just explain everything to you.
You're really selling this, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth your time, but I couldn't help but walk away a little disappointed coming off of the highs of Hill House.
Yeah, you started out really strong. It's kind of hard to top yourself when you do that without going really extra with it.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, hey, I can't fault him for going a different way with things. You know, he didn't rest on just, I'll do Hill House again. And I think that's deserving of something.
I wish they would come out with a different title for stuff like that. Like, because when I heard that Haunting of Hill House was going to be a series, I'm like, how are they going to, like, I was thinking like a continuous television series. So like, how are they going to do that? So when I hear a series now, it's like, well, is it like a series with a beginning and end, or is it a continuous series, or I wish they'd come up with a different term for it.
Yeah, and this one seems to be doing really well, so I wouldn't be surprised if we get, you know, another The Haunting of in a couple years. He's probably not, I would imagine at this point, he's probably gonna, like Mike Flanagan will probably decide, well, I'm good, but someone else can have a crack at it.
I think it would be interesting to see them cover a lot of the older classic horror books with it.
Yeah. Mike Flanagan is one of those guys. I will watch anything that guy puts out. He has a very consistent track record, and I don't think this harms it. It's just not as strong as the last one. But I guess I'm still officially registering it as my thing I'm currently enjoying. So. Well, that's our Goosebumps Say Cheese and Die episode. I can't say for sure we won't ever do, you know, maybe we will come back and do Goosebumps Piano Lessons Can Be Murder or Came From Beneath the Sink. That's the beauty of just doing one story, is there's a lot more room to do more Goosebumps. So thank you to Sam also. Thank you to Gracie for joining me here today.
Oh, thank you for having me. Sorry, no, something just popped up and it interrupted my thought pattern there.
Oh, I was just disappointed I didn't get a thank you from Sam.
Well, I mean, I guess thanks.
Yeah, I don't believe you now. I wasn't sincere. So we're ending this. You know what? Now we end this and everybody's mad. Thanks, Sam. Way to go.
Thank you, Sean. I appreciate the invitation every time. And if we can find more Ryan Gosling things for me to comment on, I would be more than happy to come back.
I still want to do a Ready or Not episode, and apparently he was in some of that, so... what are all the usual things? Follow us on the Instagrams if you want to see pictures of Blu-rays I'm watching. Follow us on Twitter if you want to see me retweet pictures of Tom Holland as Nathan Drake. And follow us on Facebook if you want to look at posts from early August. I don't remember. I think I've updated since. We have a Patreon. We have a website. Leave us a review, and 5 stars is always nice. And always remember, take my fucking picture. Take my fucking picture now.
What?
So for all those things nostalgic, I ask, do we sit?